A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers and sisters. There was a group of about 120 persons in the one place. He said, "My brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was the guide for those who arrested Jesus. Judas was numbered among us and was allotted a share in this ministry, for it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his encampment become desolate, and may no one dwell in it, and may another take his office.' Therefore, it is necessary that one of the men who accompanied us the whole time, the Lord Jesus, came and went among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day on which he was taken up from us, become with us a witness to his resurrection." So they proposed to Joseph, called Barnabas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. When they prayed, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry." From which Judas turned away to go to his own place. Then they gave lots to them, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was counted with the 11 apostles. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus said to his disciples, "As a father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." Verbum Domini. In most of the dioceses, the provinces of the United States, the celebration of the Ascension of our Lord has been transferred to Sunday, including our own diocese here. And so today we are celebrating the feast of Saint Matthias. And you know, we live in a world where we wonder what is real. A world of artificial intelligence, AI, where videos can be created to make anyone look like they're saying something, whatever you want them to say. And AI technology is such that it's just become very refined, and we might see a video that might be sent to us and doesn't seem quite right that person would actually say something like that, but it looks very real. Or we can think of the many scams, and with AI, that's reached a new level, with things that look really real from government agencies or businesses that you frequent, trying to get your information in order to take advantage of you. And so on, in many sad cases of people being deceived because of the just the accuracy, if you will, of AI. And so the question becomes for us, well, what is real? What is authentic? And so what we should do is, well, let's go to the actual sources. If I've received a video that looks like Pope Leo saying something that I really question, go to the Vatican website. See what they have posted, or reputable news services like EWTN News. Go to the government agencies. If you get an email wanting your information or a phone call or something, you're going to go to the actual source. And then you know that you can trust that source. They are the voice, the authentic voice for that particular agency, the Vatican, whatever it might be. Well, that's a question, too, in regard to what we should believe. There's a lot of different religions out there. So why should we believe in Christianity? Well, today we're celebrating the feast of Saint Matthias, and Saint Matthias we are told he was chosen, that there were two that they came up with. There were 120 people there. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Peter calls them brothers and sisters. You see, that's what happens with our faith. We have one Father. We're all brothers and sisters with the same Heavenly Father, the same Lord Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit who is motivating us and prompting us. And so what was the, they chose these two out of this 120 men and women that were there, and they choose these two men. And what was the criteria by which they would be chosen to take the office of Judas? So realize, it's an office. Judas betrayed that office, but it's an office that needs to be filled. Because our Lord, when he comes, he chooses 12 disciples. So what is he communicating by choosing 12? Well, there were 12 tribes of Israel. But over the history of Israel, most of them got scattered, dispersed, the lost tribes of Israel. But what it is saying when Jesus chooses 12 is that I'm going to gather all the people to myself. There's going to be this unity once again that had been under King David, Jesus being a son of David. So now there's going to be this reunion, if you will, this gathering. But you know, it's going to be something far greater than the Israel of old. It's going to be a new Israel. It's going to be greater than the Jerusalem of old and the temple of old. It's going to be a new and a heavenly Jerusalem. And it's going to be, the temple is going to be God himself in this heavenly Jerusalem. And so when they are choosing someone to fill this office of Judas, they come up with these two. And what is the criteria? One of those who accompanied us the whole time the Lord Jesus came and went among us, beginning with the baptism of John. So the very beginning of the Lord's public ministry, Matthias and Barsabbas Justus were with the Lord Jesus throughout his public ministry until the day in which he was taken from us and become with us a witness to his resurrection. So they were witnesses of his resurrection, of the Lord being restored to life and be appearing in glory. So these were the two, but they're going to let God reveal to them what his choice is. And so the choice of lots falls to Matthias. So this office had to be filled, and it points to that apostolic succession, but they're to be witnesses of the resurrection. And so as we look at the vast landscape of different religions or lack of it or rejection of religion as a whole, these were to be witnesses of his resurrection. That was the primary criteria. They knew the Lord. They would have known his mother too. But they witnessed his resurrection. The resurrection, which is a confirmation of who he is, that he truly is the Son of God. It's one thing to claim to be from God. It's quite another thing to be risen from the dead after you're crucified and put in a tomb. That confirms the authenticity of what we believe as Christians. But then as we look at the vast landscape of over 30,000 plus different denominations, what should we be? And this is where apostolic succession gives us a security in that there's a connection, a real connection with the church that Jesus Christ founded on the apostles. Today would be a good day to pray for your bishop because he's a successor of the apostles. That the apostolic college was not to end with the death of the apostles. They appointed successors, as we see in today's first reading. And they, in turn, appointed successors. And they, in turn, appointed successors. And so in the early church, there was a Gnostic heresy. And the Gnostics said, well, we have this secret, this hidden knowledge that just a privileged few have. And it was disconnected from the apostles or their successors. And so the question came up with, well, what should we believe? This new hidden knowledge that these people have come up with? Or no, we want to know which church is connected with the apostles, has a successor appointed by the apostles. That's the authentic one. That's the real one. That's the one that's connected to Jesus and to his apostles. So that's what this feast day today reminds us of, that beautiful truth. It gives us security in what we believe. And so they continue, the church, Christ, through the apostles and through their successors, continues to teach us, to sanctify us, to guide us. That's the role of our bishops, the successors, to teach us, to sanctify us through the sacraments, to govern us. Every Sunday, we profess our faith. What are the four marks of the church that Jesus founded? We profess it every Sunday. It is one in faith. It is one in our practice of the faith in the sacraments. There's diversity of rites, and yet there's the essentials of liturgy of the word and the Eucharist. It's one, it's holy. It's got the means to become a saint. We have this glorious, luminous trail of the saints throughout history, and there's new ones, and you are called to be a saint. And we have the means to become saints through the sacraments, through God's word that's given to us. One, holy, Catholic. It's a teaching for all people, for all times, for all cultures, for all history, all over the world. And apostolic. It's connected with Jesus himself and the College of the Apostles through their successors. What a wonderful gift it is. Treasure that today, that we can have this security of knowing that we are in the church that Jesus Christ himself founded. And let us today pray for our bishops, the successors of the apostles.